Welcome to Innovation Destination, the podcast channel for supply chain industry professionals. Here's your host, Managing Editor of Supply Chain Connect, Tyler Fussner. Hello, and welcome back to Counterfeit Chronicles, the newest series at Innovation Destination. As always, I'm your host, Tyler Fussner, Managing Editor at Supply Chain Connect. And joining me again today is Richard Smith, the Vice President of Business Development at ERAI. Hey, Richard.
Tyler, good morning. Nice to be with you again as we kick off another quarter.
I'm excited. We not too long ago, we got to speak about the counterfeit activity of 2023, which those in our audience who have not heard can listen to that conversation on Counterfeit Chronicles Episode 2. But today, you said it, we get to dive into the numbers of the first quarter of 2024. I am sure there is a lot to dissect here. So let's dive into it. My first question for you, Richard. How many reported counterfeit parts has ERAI logged so far in 2024?
Okay. In review, for folks who either don't know or haven't heard episode 2, in 2023, we published 786 counterfeit and non-conforming part reports. For Q1 24, which covers January 1st to March 31st, we have done 265 counterfeit non-conforming part reports. So that's 33% of last year's total. Now, one would expect that to be 25% being the first quarter, but it just shows that the trend is up. And if the numbers continue, we would expect to see more part reports published in 2024 than 2023.
A little bit of a concerning or alarming start to the year. Of the reported parts that you are logging, are there any leading types? What's the type of counterfeit parts that are at the top of the list in Q1?
Q1, the top of the list is microprocessors, and 21.5% of that number, the 265 have been microprocessors. Then analog integrated circuits at 16%, programmable logic, 15%, memory devices at 13%, and then others, which could be all sorts of components, are at 9%. Now, interesting, these types often just kind of bounce around the top five spots. And for comparison, in 2023, analog devices were number one at 18%. Microprocessors were number two at 16%. So those two have just switched in the first quarter. Then we had memory in 2023 at 13%. And programmable logic at 13%. And again, those two have just switched. In the first quarter, programmable logic was ahead of memory, and then others are the same at 12% and 9%, but the same, and they both come in the number five spot for both years.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's the same bad apples, it seems. You know, it's the same parts, it's the same pieces that you need to be aware of that
let's talk about that. I've mentioned in some of the other episodes what makes a part counterfeitable. And the similarities to these five types are they're a high ASP or average selling price, which, you know, the counterfeiters are going to put the effort. They want to use the parts that they can get the most return for. These are, by and large, larger type components. So they're much easier to handle, which makes them easier to remove the old marking, resurface the device, and then remark it with whatever part number and logo they're trying to sell you. There's demand for all of these parts, obviously, because of the top five spots. And very important consideration, the counterfeiters have plenty of raw material to make the counterfeit devices. And that raw material, once again, is the barges and barges of electronic waste, e-waste, scrap PC boards that Europe and North America send to Asia each year.
Richard, for Q1 so far, is there any noticeable difference between part status? Are you seeing more obsolete or active counterfeit components?
It's an interesting question. And in my demos, I hear it all the time. People will tell me, you know, Rich, we have no interest in knowing these numbers because we don't deal with obsolete product. And I can show them that in years past, obsolete product is not always the majority of the parts reported. But let's look at 2023 versus Q1 of 2024. In 2023, obsolete components were 45% of the reported total, which, if you recall, was 768. This year so far, obsolete components make up 60% of the total. So it's kind of high this year. Active product, active with long lead time, was 32% of the total last year, 10% the first quarter of this year, and active but available through authorized channels was 13% last year, 19.25% this year, and NFND, or parts designated by the manufacturers as not for new design, was 3% this year, 6.8% last year. The point to all this is, again, counterfeiting is a moving target. Some years the obsolete number is down, some years it's up, but it's always changing. And if I may jump ahead a little bit, because this may help shed some light on the number that we just talked about. Last year in 2023, of the 786 devices reported, 75% of them, or 595 parts, were reported for the very first time. And in the first quarter of this year, 77%, which is pretty close, or 206 items, were reported for the very first time. So again, it just shows that counterfeiting is a moving target. You just never know what to expect. That's why it requires continued diligence, and we can't ever let our foot off the gas.
No, I couldn't agree more. You have to keep your finger on the pulse here, right? Like you said, it's the moving target, and you know, hopefully our audience gets some great value out of the breakdown of these numbers by a quarter here, because it's only been, what, 3 months, and we're already seeing some significant shifts in the counterfeit activity patterns.
Interesting one that just popped out on my page is 2023, the top five reported manufacturers were Texas Instruments, Xilinx, Analog Devices, STMicro, and Altera. For the first quarter of this year, the top five are Altera, Texas Instruments, NXP for 6%, and NXP didn't even show up. They were number 11 last year, so they've jumped up quite a bit. It could be interesting to look into why that is. Perhaps they've had some shortages, some long lead times, maybe just some product became available, some significant demand increase. And then again, in this year, Cypress Semiconductor shows up at 1.13% of the 265 pieces, but Cypress wasn't even on the list last year. There's some parts that have been reported counterfeit for the first time. They were probably reported prior to 2023, but they were not reported in 2023, and they were the first quarter of this year. There are some significant things like that, and I would, you know, ask any of your listeners, if they see something of interest or they have some additional questions, just have them get in touch with you and see what we can find out.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Make sure you visit erai.com and submit any counterfeit part reports if you encounter any counterfeit activity. You can always email us at editor@supplychainconnect.com and submit any questions you have that you want me to throw at Richard and ERAI. Another question for you, Richard. Are the numbers in Q1 revealing any specific geographic locations that are supplying more counterfeit parts than others, or is it same old spots we need to keep an eye on?
There's a significant change. 2023, Europe accounted for 16% of all the reported counterfeit parts. Q1 24, it's 31%. So that's almost a 100% increase, almost double. And the way that the numbers break down, last year, Asia reported 47%, North America 36%, Europe 16%. And this year, so far, Q1, Asia reported 33%, North America 40%, and Europe 31%. Now, if I dig into those numbers, it tells me that people are, you know, they're going ahead and they're buying product and they're getting it in and they're doing their testing here in North America or Europe, and they're reporting it, whereas prior years, they may have just returned it or scrapped it or thrown it away. But it's not so much that Asia is reporting fewer parts. It's just that the other areas, North America and Europe, are reporting more, which in years prior, they may not have.
So I know we touched on a few different changes and shifts that we're noticing. Is there anything that stands out to you so far in Q1 of 2024 compared to last year, 2023's numbers of counterfeit activity? Anything that consumers need to be aware of right now?
The type of parts and the manufacturers, that just kind of bounces around the top 5 or top 10 spots. For the most part, just kind of they trade spaces. We haven't had a really significant change like we had in 2019 when, for the very first time, the number one most reported part was a capacitor. It's almost always an integrated circuit. Something that I've noticed recently was the type of entities that were reporting parts. Again, the numbers and sample sizes are different, with 768 last year and the 265 reported Q1. But independent distributors last year accounted for 67% of all the parts reported. They're deep in the supply chain and typically the first ones to get their hands on the devices, and they want to inspect them and test them before they ship them to their customers. It stands to reason they would be the majority. But this year, they're down to 47%. The significant increase has been reporting from test labs. Last year, test labs reported to ERAI directly 17% of the number. And so far this year, test labs are over half at 50.9%. Now, I talk to people in the business all the time, and a lot of customers are requiring more sophisticated, specialized testing. And many of the distributors have well-equipped test labs. Most of them have lesser-equipped test labs or less high-tech. So in order to meet their customer requirements, rather than doing internal testing, they're sending parts out to test labs. And then to the test labs, in order to perform a service to their customers, they're taking care of the reporting for them. And the reporting is required depending on what standards you are complying with. And as a service, they'll report to us directly. And that satisfies the reporting requirement for the test lab, their distributor customer, and the distributor's end customer. OEMs reporting and other entities remain about the same at 1.7 last year and 1.13 this year.
It's an interesting shift because I'm trying to think here, what is that really saying? Are distributors relying more on test labs, or are customers also participating and getting their stuff out to the labs to get tested and making sure that they're dealing with some quality product? It's an interesting shift, but what it mostly tells me is that more people are aware of the issue. More people are going out of their way to get these tested.
That's the best answer. Reporting is becoming more and more acceptable. We've made it extremely simple. Anyone can go to erai.com and report a part, or simply email your part report to reportparts@erai.com. And it couldn't be any simpler. And we've taken away the workload and the heavy bureaucracy required. You don't necessarily have to have a department or a person. Many companies, ERAI members, whether they are a distributor or a test lab, they just build reporting to ERAI right into their process. So as they're inspecting a part, if they discover anomalies, the next step is just send it to ERAI, and they do it as they're processing the part, and it makes it a much simpler task.
Richard, thank you as always. Excellent having you on the show. Excellent reporting. Thank you to ERAI and putting these numbers out to help paint the picture of how things are moving.
And Tyler, I appreciate you and your efforts, and I look forward to our next time together.
Likewise. And thank you for joining us, everyone.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Innovation Destination. Follow us online at supplychainconnect.com or find us on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter to stay up to date on the latest supply chain industry news. Do you have any questions, or is there a topic you would like us to cover in a future episode? Please contact us at editors@supplychainconnect.com. That's EDITORS@supplychainconnect.com.